WCSM. For Sports First, on air and online, we welcome you to this WCSM Sports presentation.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition, episode 3 of Sports Surge with Brent Sowers and Kyle Hine, live at the Coldwater Eagles. And if you're listening in, you can stop out here. We are on the rental side, but you can sit on the club side if you're a member. If you're not, it's open to the public tonight. Come on out, have a delicious ice-cold beverage, something with October in the name.
Yeah,
it does taste pretty good. Otherwise, enjoy the conversation here. And don't forget, you'll be able to check it out tomorrow, 8 a.m. on Spotify or Apple Podcast or wherever you get your pods. We're available there as well. But Kyle, here we are, episode 3, another great guest. We've got the brand new Midwest Athletic Conference Commissioner, Ben Kramer. Ben, how are you?
Great. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, thanks for being on here. So obviously, kind of a crazy year and a half in the MAC as far as commissioners is concerned. Don was on for quite some time. He moves on. And Rob comes in. Rob's in for a little over a year. Is that what it was?
Yeah. So we lost a really good commissioner in Don Kemper, and he did it for about 7 years. And to tell you the truth, if you look at the history of commissioners and assigners, 7 or 8 years is about the lifespan. Unfortunately, those positions, it seems like, I don't know if you want to say it's a high burnout rate, but I mean, That's about how long it lasts. And Don just he got a big promotion. He got a promotion in his real job.
Real
you
job.
Know, we all have real jobs. Yep. Okay, I'd like to point that out. I think there's a myth that some people think, oh, that's like all you do. No, it's far from it. And so Don had to reluctantly give it up. Rob stepped right in. Rob was doing a phenomenal job. And the athletic administrator position came open at Minster Local Schools, where he's from, where he lives. His kids graduated from there. They hired the best person for the job, which was him. And then here we are. I was doing the assigning side of it after Don left. So I'd been assigning I was going into my second year assigning. And funny enough, the athletic directors in the Midwest Athletic Conference, they said, okay, we had a great guy in Don Kemper, and he was doing both jobs, the commissioner and the athletic director, and the assigner. And they said, maybe we should split this job up because it's a lot for one person. So they split it up. I did the assigning. Rob did the commissioner part. Rob has to leave. You can't have an athletic director be your commissioner as well.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, even though Rob's a great person, but I mean, it is what it is. So here we are again. We're back to one guy doing both things, I hope it works out.
Yeah, so you kind of talked about the assigner like that. What did that job entail exactly?
So to level with you, I am contracted by the league to assign all varsity and JV officials for the sports of volleyball, boys and girls basketball, and then for football, I'm contracted to do all varsity football games, weeks 1 through 10. Obviously, in weeks 1 or 2, it's only if a Midwest athletic school is playing at home. Mm-hmm. And then in the spring, I'm contracted to do the league varsity baseball and softball games.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot, especially with the amount of officials declining year over year.
If you stay organized, if you stay on top of it, if you work ahead, I mean, Kyle can probably allude to that a little bit. If you work ahead, it can be done. It can be done efficiently if you just stay on top of it. It
takes a little bit of organizational,
Yeah.
And knowing guys probably as well.
It takes a lot of organization. I have Steve Trout that helps me with volleyball. Mm-hmm. I will be the first to admit I don't profess to be the guy that, maybe the best person out there to do the volleyball assigning. But Steve Trout is, and he's been a very good friend of mine for a long, long time. And when the athletic directors hired me, for example, they said, hey, you know, how do you feel about volleyball? You know, we know as you, we kind of know you as a football guy, a basketball guy, a baseball, softball guy, but what about volleyball? And I told him, I said, listen, I've already reached out to Steve Trout, and he is, he's been a veteran volleyball official around the area for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And so Steve Trout, and he was actually one of them. He was the former athletic director at New Knoxville. So Steve was good enough to say, yep, I'll help you with the volleyball. And that allowed us to keep everything, you know, dealing with just basically me. So the athletic directors don't have to, you know, they don't have to. A lot of leagues will have an assigner for football, an assigner for basketball, an assigner for baseball. So then those athletic directors, they're talking to, you know, three different people throughout the course of a year. And so that's just the decision we made. And so far it's working. That maybe that's debatable. I don't know.
So when you first, before you were a commissioner and everything, you kind of hinted at it that you were an official. You've done basketball and football and stuff. Everybody's pretty much seen you around the area for sure on that. Like, what made you say, hey, I want to be an official in whatever sport? I mean, I got a brother that's kind of into it now a little bit as well.
Well, I started in college. I mean, I can remember I was working outside on mom and dad, you know, on the farm. We're farmers by, you know, that's what my family, you know, that's what we do. And Phil Schumann stopped in, another former commissioner, assigner of the league. Phil, great guy. And Phil Schumann stops in, and at that time, he's like all these other assigners. He needed officials. And Phil goes, hey, you're going to go get your basketball license and you're going to referee JV basketball for me this spring. And I said, okay, you know what? I didn't really know what I was getting into. And then, you know, I was 18 years old. Okay. And I started going out in the winter. I was going to Wright State Lake Campus and I started making money officiating games. And I'm like, man, this is the easiest money that I've ever made in my life. This beats working out on the farm. I mean, I'm in a gym, and so it just kind of took off from there. And then I was very, very fortunate to get around some really, really good people, and they kind of brought me along. And then this could be debatable too. I had a little bit of success, and then graduated from the JV ranks at a pretty young age, and those guys kind of brought me along, and you know, they protected me to a certain sense when I was young. You know, I rode along with Don Kemper a lot, Rob Lupke. Steve Trout, and some of those guys. So I was brought in young, and it just kind of took off from there, and you know, developed a lot of friendships over the years with other officials, the coaches in the area, and you know, and really that's what it's all about. You build these relationships. That's really what it's about. And that's what makes our area, the Midwest Athletic Conference, that's really what makes it pretty special.
Well, and working with these ADs, you know, it was probably pretty easy when you made the decision, hey, I'm going to try to go for the commissioner of the MAC, knowing all the ADs and how great they are. And that was probably a pretty easy decision, knowing the relationship that you had had. You know, just speak on behalf of the ADs around here to, you know, compare it to maybe other conferences or other people you've talked to, other commissioners. MAC's got to have a lot of great ADs that are just easy to work with and make your job easier too.
Our athletic directors are second to none. First of all, the professionalism that we have around here in our area, it's outstanding. I've traveled, you know, all over the state. Okay. And I remember, you know, in the early 90s, you walked into a gym, you know, Bert Fizer, Tim Beckman, Bill Young, Stan Welker, Steve Trout, they were all there to greet you, shake your hand, and hand you a check. Okay. In today's, in our athletic directors today at our MAC schools, they still do that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if they're not there to greet you at the door, they have somebody there that is there to greet you. And they will make it a point to come around and say hi later on in the evening because they're doing, especially football, they're doing a million things. And I can tell you this, you can go to other areas of the state And in today's world where, you know, you're not officials may be paid direct deposit or electronically. Frankly, at some of these places, and if athletic director doesn't have a need to see you, you may not see them. And you know, I think that's a crime. But our guys around here, they're old school to a certain extent. And I don't know if they realize how appreciated that is, but it is, and it makes a difference.
Well, being old school like that, that has that respect. You know, I think, you know, and nowadays you're kind of, everybody's kind of losing that old school mentality a little bit to where, you know, like you said, direct deposit and stuff. There's not that much of face-to-face communication anymore. And having that with the athletic directors nowadays, that seems to be, you know, it is pretty nice.
I would agree with that. And again, that's how you build relationships with people. We got a good thing going around here, people wise, and I don't. It's scary though. I mean, it's we're just the other week we lost a great athletic director, Dennis Wendell. He from St. Henry. He pursued a goal of his to become a treasurer at some point in his career. And Dennis looked around and he says, "Geesh, it's kind of now or never." So you know, we lost a really really good guy. And, you know, we're getting some turnover, but I'm sure St. Henry's going to find somebody, you know, hopefully just as good as Dennis.
Well, and kind of sticking with the ADs who you work with on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, you can talk to them. The hours aren't getting shorter for them. There's just more to put into football and volleyball and basketball and baseball and softball and all these sports, and scheduling tournaments isn't getting any easier through the OHSAA. It's putting more on their plate. And some of these guys, you know, it's just – I think it may become a high burnout rate. I mean, you look at like a guy, a little bias, his wife works for me, but Eric Goodwin, how long are guys going to stick for almost three decades anymore?
You know, hopefully a long time. But, you know, guys like Eric Goodwin in the future are probably going to be the exception rather than the norm. And hopefully there's things that school districts and communities can do for those athletic administrators to kind of ease their burden or make their lives easier. But the bottom line is, I've always thought in terms of athletic administrators, you know, I believe time is the most valuable commodity that we have, okay? Right. They don't make any more of it, right?
Right.
Okay? You're paying those athletic administrators for their time. And you know, these guys that you see in a gymnasium at 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night. My daughter plays volleyball for Marion Local. And, you know, the parents group, I didn't know this until she started playing JV volleyball this year. The parents group helps rip down the gym at the end of the night. Well, Dan Koenig is the last one out of the building. Okay. And Dan Koenig also drives that school bus, I believe, in the morning too. Right. So, I mean.
And is he still coaching on the sidelines on football too?
No, Dan, he did give that up.
Oh,
because
so he did back off a little bit.
Well, he's still, but the point is that, you know, with all these ADs, he's still there.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the only reason Dan gave up the football was because his daughter started to play college volleyball.
Right.
So
time, you know, it's a commodity. He wanted to spend it that way. Yeah.
And speaking of Eric Goodwin, he needs umpires for the strikeout for cancer. He just said so.
We'll get them.
We got some time, I guess, till spring.
We got some time.
Let's not start spring. We're just getting into fall here. So, you know, when you take the position on, obviously, you know, the caliber of the conference. Do you talk to other commissioners and other conferences, and are they dealing with the same thing that you're dealing with as far as finding officials or the assigner? Are they still splitting it off, or are they taking it on as well? And, you know, how is it looking around the state as well, not just here?
Well, to start answering your question, I think one of the, I guess, maybe the positives or one thing that I pointed out when I talked to the athletic administrators is I have a very good relationship with Mark Fralick, the assigner for the WBL, and a very, very good relationship with Stan Evans, the assigner for the Shelby County League. So those are our two leagues that geographically border the Midwest Athletic Conference.
Yep.
So, and I don't know if the general public realizes this, and I always chuckled as an official. I'd go down to the Shelby County League, and those guys would be like, "Oh, this guy, he's an MAC guy. We don't, you know, we don't want Ben when we're playing any MAC teams." And we'd always chuckle because we're like, you know, we all work at the same places, and so we share guys all the time. So yeah, there's definitely collaboration between other assigners and myself. We collaborate all the time. Just yesterday, I was working on a basketball date on February the 7th, and I was going through the online platform that we used, and I saw there was a game up at Ottawa Glandorf, and I'm like, hey, we may need to be, you know, moving some guys around, and I got in touch with those guys, and you know, we collaborate, definitely.
Yeah, that's nice. So kind of going off a little bit with, like, officials, everybody's always saying there's a lack of officials coming in, lack of officials. The age is starting to get older and older. Do you feel that's true? Like, is what other people are saying, does that make sense? Or
the interesting thing is, to your point, there's data that will actually support that. The OHSAA, every year they used to put out a median age of officials in every sport. And you're right, our median age, or our average age of officials, it continues to grow, which isn't necessarily a good thing. Now, I think if we would ask some OHSAA administrators, and again, the data that they collect, the last I heard, I don't know that our problem is so much getting new officials in. It's retaining the officials that we have. We need to do, you know, anything possible to retain these officials that we have. In our area, you know, we're as competitive as anybody is for sure. In the state, you know, when you show up to a game and so forth. But, you know, if I would tell the general public, when we walk into a seventh grade girls basketball game, okay, or a seventh grade boys basketball game, and we see a first year official out there, okay, be patient, you know, be patient with them.
And sometimes you can tell that it's first year.
Yeah, like, yeah. And what I'm getting at is we need to do everything we can to give those individuals that get into officiating, we need to give them a good experience.
A little bit of support.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, our athletic administrators, they're going to give them, you know, we don't have to worry about that. I touched on that. Those athletic directors, they're going to be great. The other officials have to act as mentors to those new officials. You know, bring them in because, I mean, you know, I'm almost in year 30, and I've never officiated a perfect game. And so you can imagine.
Oh, we know.
we can go on the other side of the bar, and they can, you know, and believe me. But these new officials, we got to give them a good experience. Right. So, you know, when you show up, when you see these young officials out there, and it's usually the junior high level or the junior varsity level, okay, the JV level, you know, let's be patient with them. You know, we've got good coaches around, and our coaches, for the most part in the league, you know, they know what they're getting, you know, on a certain night, officiating wise, the quality. And most of our coaches do a really good job of, you know, they know what they're getting, and they'll, you know, they'll pump the brakes when.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I spoke with Jim Reneals this past spring. He did a quarter softball game, and it was his second to last game.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's done, and I'm sure you know Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking with him, and he kind of mentioned it. Yeah, this is my second to last game. I said, really? And he goes, yeah. You know, I'm getting too old, but I have a lot of guilt. And I said, really, why is that? And he said, because we just don't have enough softball, you know, umpires. And he goes, there's a couple guys my age that we want to be done, but we feel guilty stopping.
I can completely see somebody in Jim's situation saying that. I get that. I can see that. But at some point, those individuals, I mean, I guess what I would tell guys, you know, and I don't care how old you are, if you're out there and if you don't want to be there anymore, then it's time to right. leave. You know what yeah. I mean? If you're out there and you don't want to be there anymore, then it's time to go.
That's pretty much with anything, any yeah, job.
You're right.
Yeah, they always yeah. tell you that if an employee's like, I should probably retire. I'm thinking of retiring. They already got one foot out the door. They're already semi-retired in their eyes, yeah. and the work tends to drop off. But, hey, we'll be back. We're talking with Midwest Athletic Commissioner Ben Kramer here on 96.7 The Wave on the Sports Surge podcast, brought to you by Loudix Jewelry and, of course, Home Service Station on 96.7 The Wave. Welcome back. We are, of course, broadcasting live from Coldwater Eagles, 3025 Sports Surge with Brent Sowers and Kyle Hine. Our awesome guest tonight, Ben Kramer, 20 minutes in the books. And dude, I learned a lot in that moment. One thing, we're going to send a PSA out to, I think Ben doesn't want to say it, so I'll say it to the parents, young officials, be kind, give them a little bit here, let them learn the game. Don't come on them too hard because, you know, it's going to take some time. There's a lot of rules and a lot of nuances to being an official that, man, give them a moment, let them breathe, let them gain some confidence before we, you know, start beating on the zebras, right?
Their heads are spinning. They're trying just to keep their head above water out there.
Right.
Hey, the old guys out there like me, we can take it. You know, we save it for the old guys if you want to. You know, but in all seriousness, you know, like I said, in our area, our coaches do a wonderful job of bringing those young guys along, and I think for the most part, a lot of our fans, they do as well. They get it. You know what I mean? They get, especially, you can tell the difference between the parents that have had, it's their second and third and fourth child going through the system.
Right.
You know, those are just the little things you notice when you're out there and you pick up on things.
Speaking of that, does that ever make you feel like, or make you realize how long you've been doing this when you see that second or third generation? Like, man, well, I remember my first year, your brother was playing. Well, now
he was officiating games when I was playing.
Yeah.
Well, he said he started what, when you were 18?
I started when yeah. I was 18. But, you know, again, I touched on like relationships like earlier. I could just right off the top of my head, Todd Homan from Fort Recovery. You know, it's like, Todd, is this your last kid coming? You know, you see all like right. these people, you know, you see all their kids coming through and you're like, you know, wow, man, this is the last one coming through. And you know, the Homan family from New Bremen, you see all those kids coming through and, you know, when the last one goes through, you're like, you know, wow, I've seen the whole family go through. I mean, so yeah, I mean, you notice stuff like that and, you know, it kind of, you know, you appreciate stuff like sure. that.
Well,
yeah.
for example, you know, you look at Fort Recovery now, Brent Kramer, you know, they move on from him. Wes Wenning, who played, is now the head coach of the Fort Recovery Indians. So now you're dealing with him on the other side of that prism. You know, does that make you kind of kick back and go, yeah, I've been doing this for quite some time.
I didn't even think about that. The guys that you used to officiate for, and now they're coaching at some level. I can think of a couple off the top of my head. Wes Wenning. Now, Wes, I didn't know as well back then, but Corey Klinke here mm-hmm. in Coldwater.
Yep.
Okay. I remember when Corey played those I mean, I remember, you know, when he played like junior high sports. Well, and now here we go. Yeah. You know, a varsity baseball coach and assistant football coach. And I mean, and I know, all those guys over at St. Henry, they've got a young staff.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's another great point. Things kind of come full circle.
Yeah. So talking about not just local high school officiating, we were talking off air before the program started. You were saying how you did some college football and stuff like that on the Missouri Valley Conference and traveling a little bit out in the Dakotas and doing that. Like, how was that experience for you?
Yeah. So, you know, the football thing kind of took off a little bit more so in terms of like progressing, I guess you would say. And I've started to do, I got the opportunity to do Division I college football in the Missouri Valley, like you said. And that league is assigned out of the Big Ten office. So the Big Ten office in Chicago, those assigners, they assign for the Big Ten, the MAC. We'll call them the Big Mac.
There you go.
The Mid-American Conference. Okay. The Big Mac and the Missouri Valley Conference. Okay. And they also do some Pioneer League schools like, you know, I've been to the University of Dayton for many football games, UD, Butler, Valparaiso, some of those. And, you know, the experiences that I've learned, you know, first of all, you're not going to come across a better, how do I want to say this? You're not going to come across probably a more professional organization sports-wise than the Big Ten, okay? I would say the Big Ten, the resources, the finances, and so forth at their disposal, okay? They spare no expense. They leave no stone unturned. The trainers that they have there and so forth, I mean, the Big Ten would probably rival the NFL or you know, the professional sports in terms of just the wealth of knowledge that you learn from them. And then, you know, I'll be honest, you see what they do. Like every summer we go to the Big Ten offices in Chicago. We have a two-day clinic. You take the experiences that you have there, okay, and you just bring that stuff back. You bring it back to your people, and that's really what officiating is. You got to bring back the knowledge. You've got to bring back the experiences. You've got to bring it back to your officials. You got to bring it back to your league. Now, you do have to be careful, and you have to realize we're at a high school level here.
Right.
We're not, you know, this isn't the Big Ten. This isn't the Missouri Valley or the Mid-American Conference, and you have to realize that, you know, where you're at, but you can still bring those ideas, that professionalism, those resources, that knowledge. You got to bring it back with you and share it.
Well, one question I have is, you know, when you get that knowledge or, you know, when you go to that two-a-day, when you come back, are you meeting, you know, as an official, or are you coming back now as the commissioner in the MAC and saying, hey, guys, here's what I've learned over 2 days. Could we apply some of these?
Well, what you're doing is, you know, you're going there as a football official, okay? And you're coming back and you're taking all the training. I mean, you're being trained by, you know, former NFL officials, former Big Ten officials, and you're taking that knowledge and you're bringing it back to your high school guys, okay? And you're trying to share the philosophies and so forth. Like, for example, okay, if we want to get into it, Friday night football in our area. Nope. Have you guys ever gone to a football game to see a bunch of yellow flags hit the ground?
No.
Nope. No. Nobody's ever done that, right? So, you know, one of the philosophies that we try to, you know, get to our people, that our crews that want to work in the MAC, you know, we want big fouls. We want fouls that are big. Clear and obvious. We want them to have a material effect and a material restriction and a material effect on the play. So in other words, you know, if the ball is going one direction and we have something on the backside that's got nothing to do with the play, we probably want to stay away from that, okay? Now, do you think I was smart enough to come up with that? No. You take that stuff from... Sure. From, you know, upper levels and you bring it back with you.
So man, that's just common sense too. You watch like college football and stuff on Sundays and it's like, why are we calling a hold on the backside when it had no effect when it's a sweep to the right and it's a hold on the, you know, the end of the line on the left side. So yes, as a high school fan, we don't go there and going, I hope I see 55 flags tonight. We want to see a good game, and it makes so much sense. Clear and concise penalties that everybody in the stands is going to be and I get that one.
You know, and your 15-yard fouls need to be big ones. They need to be no doubters. You know, offensive holding, you know, there's categories for offensive holding and defensive pass interference. If you can't put one of those, if you can't put that an offensive hold or a defensive pass interference into a category, then you probably don't have one, okay?
Right.
So, you know, you bring stuff like that back with to the guys and you know, sometimes it takes, sometimes it doesn't. It's like anything else, but, you know.
You know, and from the official side of it, when you bring this back or you meet with guys that you've worked with, you know, with it, your football crew or your basketball crew, you know, does anybody ever present an idea and in amongst your group you're like, man, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to fly or can we – do you – hey, it's a great idea, but can we try something different? Like, is it a conversation back and forth? It's probably not just black and white.
Well – sometimes it is black and white because if you really want to get into the officiating, I mean, there's a manual that you're supposed to follow. And one thing that I'm a big believer in, and I've kind of got this from the, you know, from the upper levels of officiating. If you follow the manual, okay, the mechanics manual, where you're supposed to be and when you're supposed to be there, if you follow the rule book, in other words, if we don't stray away from that stuff, if you follow the manual, if you follow the rule book, you can always be supported. It's when we start to stray away from things and we start to kind of do things on our own, that's when we can get in trouble, okay? Because you got to think what coaches want, what schools want, what fans want, okay? We want consistency, right? So every time we go see a sporting event, we want consistency. It shouldn't matter who the officials are. We should get a consistent game. And I think really when we get the inconsistency, that's what pulls people's hair.
Right. So at that meeting or convention, whatever you want to call that, did Gene Steratore teach you how to use the index card or no to measure the first down?
Gene Steratore, Gene Steratore is like you guys. He's in the media. Yeah. He's out of the big time now. Gene Steratore, he's big time. He's doing very well for himself in the media end of it.
I have to ask because I don't know. I know we've had the conversation. Can you please explain to the general public? I don't even know the answer. What is a football move? Because it seems like every white official or every back at everybody has a different definition of what a football move is. You know, you've got the general fan that's like, he caught the ball. He's wearing a football jersey. I would consider that a football move. There's clearly a definition to it.
Well, okay. I would expound upon that and say a football move would then be an act common to the game, okay? I think where you're going with this is like what's a completed pass?
Correct.
That's where we hear the term football move. There's got to be a time element in that as well, okay? There's got to be a time element in that as well. So a football move would then be an act common to the game. If you want me to ad lib here, I'd say, you know, we're going to get 2 feet down. Okay. We're going to get 2 feet down. And, you know, ultimately, after 2 feet are down, then whether we, you know, you don't necessarily have to take off and start running again. But I mean,
for example, 2 feet down, you start to turn up field and there's a time. Like you said, there's got to be some time on it. If there's enough time, you can clearly see, like, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's a time element involved. I'm going to tell you this. Replay is the hardest job in football because when you're on the field and when you're trained to do Division I football, for example, or football in the NFL, those officials know there's a phrase, you want to be on the right side of replay. So in other words, if you're out there and you're not certain, what do you think the best thing to do is? Let it play through, right?
Right.
Let it play through. Let replay come in and let them fix it. That's why the common fan will be out there. They'll say, oh my gosh, that wasn't a fumble. The runner was down. Why wouldn't they just, well, you know, things out there happen so fast. They happen so fast. Every level that you go up, the speed of the game is that much faster.
10 times.
And, you know, and no matter what the sport, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, softball, you just increase in the level. The speed of the game goes that much faster. And that's really what separates the different levels apart. And frankly, if officials are good enough to progress to the next level, it's can they handle the speed? Can they handle the speed of the game? When you go out there and, you know, the game looks like slow motion to you, then you know you've got something to work with.
Right.
Now, you can't get cocky, though, either, because as soon as you get cocky and you think, oh, I've got this down, you'll get caught.
Right.
Yep.
It's just incredible. And I didn't even think about it that way. You know, kind of they say that with quarterbacks going from college to the NFL. The gameplay is so much faster. Well, yeah, you're getting better and better athletes every league you step upon. Of course, in officiating, it's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. Those bang-bang plays from high school to college, the NFL, have to look so different.
Yeah, so, I mean, it does. And the speed of the game, every level you go up, that speed, it makes it that much tougher. And that's why, you know, but the replay, there's nobody to save those guys. Right. If they're, you know, and then it's, you know, well, how can you guys be incorrect? You can sit there, you can watch it on a monitor. How can you be, well, you know, those guys, I mean, think about it. They don't get, they're kind of judged on how quickly they can review a play and get it back out there. So,
I don't know if you watch, you know, college and NFL through a referee perspective or just as a fan, but I don't know if you guys watched Saturday, but the Clemson-Georgia Tech game, they actually allowed on air the inside of the ACC replay booth, and they would let you hear and watch, and they were showing you what they were seeing, what they were discussing with the official. I think that's great because it allows fans to see the conversation. Like, these guys just aren't in here going, all right, well, when this game's done, we're going to go grab a beer here. They're actually looking at monitors, screens, and trying to figure out every frame of what the best outcome could be so that they get it right.
I enjoyed it. I loved it because you could sit and they were talking, hey, you see him? He's got the ball here at this point. Looks like he's got his foot down. And he's like, yeah, I agree. You know, I thought it was a good line of communication to actually see what goes on when he goes in and watches a little movie under the hood.
And I'm going to claim, I didn't see that, but I'm going to claim that, you know, the network went to, it was an ACC game.
Yep.
You know, the network went to the ACC. You know, the job of officiating, you know, first of all, we got to bring integrity to the game. That's our number one job. But let's not make any, we're in the entertainment business, okay? I mean, right. That's what sports are. Yeah. We're in the entertainment business, you know? Without officials, it'd just be recess.
Well, and I think to Kyle's point, like when you watch that and you got to see that inner workings, I don't know for me, but I walked away and I understood a little bit more about where the head official was coming from, where the replay booth was coming from. And if you can get fans to understand the perspective of what they're watching, you're going to get them on your side a lot more than not. And it goes back to the common courtesy thing, the respect thing of the game and the officials at every level. And I think I even took away, like, okay, they're dealing with that in college. I can only imagine what the high school officials are dealing with. So you get that respect right back. It gets your mind to go, yeah, these guys are in a tough position at every level.
You know, individuals just want to be included. You know, it's like anything else in life. They just want to be included.
Man, this has been incredible. We're 40 minutes in. Again, our guest, Ben Kramer, MAC commissioner, but
we got to talk a little bit more about the commissionership.
I know. I feel like this segment has been incredible on officials, but a great insight, Kyle, he's got almost 30 years in. First of all, thank you for that. That's it's a lot of time away from the family. There are games everywhere all over the state, the country for you. You've covered some Jackrabbits games. You've covered some Bison games. I mean, that beautiful country out there, but also time away. You're taking time away for your family. So as a local official, thank you very much. And let's get back to the MAC commissioner side of things.
Yeah. So what do we got? You got any plans? Is there any big things? Like, I guess one thing that I've heard, and
I have no secrets.
Okay.
Well, I have no secrets to share.
So I guess a little bit of my complaint, not really a big complaint, but like, I think when Rob took over the Midwest Athletic Conference website, it changed a little bit, had a little bit more information. And to me, I think we probably could have more, possibly, one way or another. Is that something been talked about?
This is a very hot topic.
Way to go, Kyle.
Sorry.
Well, it's not contentious at all, but Rob revamped the website, right. did a tremendous job, and the need for statistics, for stats, is unbelievable. I had a pretty good inkling that the stat end of it was going to be pretty overwhelming. But to tell you the truth, I mean, everybody wants to see stats. And I think, I don't want to speak for the Midwest Athletic Conference administrators, but I think we all realize that the social media aspect of it's growing. The general public, their expectations of what we should do in terms of social media, frankly, it's probably growing faster than what we have answers to. Okay. Years ago, when you wanted stats, when you wanted social, you went to the Daily Standard, right? Or, I mean, you went to your local print media, and that's what, that's how you got it. You know, Rob still does a very, very good job. He still does the website. He started revamping the website, and that's something that he wants to see through, and he's still doing it. But it's like anything, you know, you can't get things up fast enough.
Right. You got to have somebody to do it.
Well,
I mean, that's one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it just in the simple context of it. You want instantaneous stats or stats in general. Does that mean you as a commissioner have to assign people to go to every football game to keep stats?
No.
You know what I mean? Like
the schools, you know, the schools all have programs, and they're hitting when the game is over, they're hitting send. Okay. And they're hitting send to the local media, to Rob Hemmelgarn, to myself. But the thing is, you've still got to compile all that data.
Yeah. Right.
And you've still got to get it on a website, present it, and so forth. Okay? You know, years ago, the commissioner of the league, we wouldn't necessarily be concerned with stats until the last week of the season in any sport so we could do our all-league voting. Well, now, you know, the general public, they, you know, they like to see those stats, and that is something, you know, I don't want to say we're struggling with, but I'll stand by my earlier point that the need for that is probably growing quicker than we're able to maybe please everyone with right now.
Just on our side of things in the radio business, you know, I'm the only one that creates our graphics, and just for the games that we cover throughout the week and the news stories, you know, that you think it's a 2 to 4 hour a week job. It just continues to grow because people want that instant gratification of seeing what they can see. And, you know, for you guys, especially with the way we consume sports around here,
yep,
people just want it so quick. So,
so now we know why all the errors are on the graphics.
That is my fault. Okay. Yeah. When I forget to put records on. Yeah. Don't blame Lee back in the studio. That is 100% me. But yeah, you know, if it's a one man job, I can imagine. I mean, that's hours upon hours trying to put that information in. Even though it's sent to you quickly, you still got to compile it.
Well, you know, say, so a volleyball game ends at 9 o'clock. Okay. You know, Rob will have that stuff updated. He's, you know, he's at 10 o'clock on just a normal weekday night, he's not relaxing in his recliner. He's updating the website.
On top of being Minster's AD now.
Yeah, and that's, and we, and I will tell you, and I don't want to get myself in trouble, but we have discussed the possibility of looking for someone to take care of social media. So that is, if you ask if there's some, I mean, that is something that we it has come up in conversation. Absolutely nothing has been decided upon, but I can tell you this, I don't think anybody would be against that discussion going a little bit further in terms of a social media type, you know, stat person for the league, because our administrators have realized what, you know, the social media world has kind of grown into.
Yeah, almost everybody now has a marketing department of some time, even if it's just 10 to 15 hours a week. That's just a lot of information to compile. It is 7:45. Thank you so much to Ben Kramer, Matt Commissioner. Are you guys asking? Pumper wants a question. Oh. Shoot it out, Pumper.
Football playoffs for this year, the OHSAA, has it changed the number of teams participating?
And so he asked the number of teams in the OHSAA playoffs.
So now what we're doing, we are going, we've gone from 16 teams,
right,
a 16 team playoff down to 12. And the top four seeds will get a bye. Okay.
So what that means is 1 through 4 bye, then 5 plays 12, 6 plays 11.
Don't quote me on that. I haven't investigated it that far. You know, how they're going to, because there's some arguments that could be made, you know, is you can make some arguments like one through four are going to get the byes, but then think for a little bit about how you're going to seed them to go on to the second round. You know what I mean? Because
so you're saying there is there possibility of a reseeding.
Well, if five plays 12 and they go into the number one seed, is that really fair? So
right, kind of like what the college football playoff ended up with their whole seeding and stuff. That was a little.
Yeah, I have not seen a bracket from the OHSAA regarding the playoffs. I will say, you know, in our league, I'll look at the last 2 years. Okay. We've had football teams, St. Henry 2 years ago, right? And Delphi St. John's last year, okay? Both of those teams went in and won. I know Delphi's won two playoff games last year, I believe, two.
Yep.
Played in week three. St. Henry, what did they, 2 years ago, they won a handful of playoff games, right? And I don't think, if we go back and look, I think those teams would have been a 13, 14, or 15 right. seed. So as a league, is it a good thing for the Midwest Athletic Conference? You know, you judge for yourself. I I see us getting in fewer teams,
right.
and I'll take a Midwest Athletic Conference football team at a, you know, I'll take those
500 teams.
I'll take our
against anybody.
I'll take our 3-7 teams in the league against anybody outside of the conference.
Well, kind of going on that. That's
it's not exactly going out on a limb. Know what I mean?
It's not, but we had that. That was last year where Fort Recovery ended up playing Marion in the first round of playoffs because two teams backed out. They were like, we don't want none of this.
I give Brett Niekamp all the credit in the world. Mm-hmm. That was a stand-up thing to do, to bring those kids over, you know, to Booster Field on a Friday night, give them one more opportunity to play high school football. He didn't have to do that. Fort Recovery didn't have to do that, but they did. And that was a stand-up thing to do.
Well, that's just what you do in the area.
You know what? Yeah. But I didn't even think of it from the perspective of, you know, we all complained when they jumped to 16. But from the Midwest Athletic Conference standpoint, now that we're going down to 12, you're right. Some of those teams could have been 13, 14, 15.
They're not going to get it. We're going to – if you want to get into the football, the new playoffs, we will – as a result of this system – we will have fewer Midwest Athletic Conference teams make the postseason.
Yeah, and that's like you said. I would agree with you. You take any 3-7 MAC team in those first couple rounds. Either they're going to make it competitive, or they're going to pull off a quote upset. You know, in that situation.
Yeah, a quote upset.
Quote upset.
I know what you mean. You know, and I get it. We can sit around and we can debate all day. Well, you know, if you're 4-6, you know, if you're not, do you deserve? Well, you know, that's not for us to decide. The system is the system. If we all play by the same rules, that's what it is.
And that's why Fort Recovery was so awesome last year. You know, what the reasoning or excuses were of those two teams backing out, the thing is Fort Recovery got offered. They know how special it is to be into that Week 11 game. You know, they probably knew what the answer was going to be, but you know what? They did the respectful thing. They gave Marion an opponent, and I'm going to tell you right now, Tim Goodwin probably has nothing but great things to say about that Fort Recovery football team last year. So you are leaving the potential of a lot of great teams out of the playoffs going down to this 12, but yeah, we'll see how it plays out. It's going to be really, really interesting.
The only thing that I really hope when these decisions are made, that we have coaches associations in Ohio, okay? We've got football coaches associations, basketball, baseball, softball. You know, I don't know to what extent those coaches associations are consulted about these types of decisions, but I hope that they are, because without our coaches, we've got nothing. You know, we talked about athletic directors a lot, administrators, but without our coaches, we've got nothing.
We've got recess.
We've got recess, but we've got no life lessons. We've got no work ethic. We've got no humility. You know, teaching these kids a little bit of humility. Without these coaches, we've got nothing.
Well, I think you'll speak upon it as commissioner of the MAC. We have that in abundance with all of our coaches in every sport right now in the conference. It's got to be great to be the commissioner of this conference and to work with all these coaches from every sport.
Well, you know, the conference is what it is. You know, there's not a whole lot. There's no promotion, okay? And the fact is, you know, when I got this job, okay, the applicant pool was not big, because frankly, we live in a very, very humble area. And, you know, titles and stuff like that, it really doesn't do a lot for people, okay? You know, you could probably ask a lot of kids, you know, this week, hey, what's the most important thing you're doing? Well, we're starting harvest. That's the most important thing we're doing right now. Yep. You know, oh yeah, and then we're gonna lace them up, and we're gonna play football on Friday night, or we're gonna play some volleyball. We got the MAC golf, tournament Saturday morning, 8:30 a.m. tee off time at the Elks. Elks for the girls, Stillwater for the boys. Okay, and that flip flops, that rotates, right. But you know, I mean. The people around here got things in perspective.
Yeah, it's a great conference. I want to thank you for coming on, Ben. That hour went incredibly fast. Don't forget that you can check it out on Spotify, Apple Pods, wherever you get it. Ben, thank you so much for coming on.
I want to thank you guys. Do I got a second here?
Sure.
Do I got a second? I want to thank you guys because, you know, in Northwest Ohio, and again, this isn't coming from me necessarily, but in Northwest Ohio, the media coverage that we get for high school sports is the best in the state, okay? And we could go, and we go all the way, guys like Vince Koza, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, WTLW Channel 44, those guys paved the way for everything like this, okay? Back then, you know, people told Vince and WTL, you guys are nuts. You guys are going up against, you know, professional sports, and you're giving this much attention to high school sports. Those guys paved the way. The media in Northwest Ohio, you know, nobody else has got WOSN, you know, and I mean, nobody's got that. And these podcasts, like, I mean, it's just neat. The media world, they should be commended. They've done a wonderful job of covering our sports.
I think Kyle Wecko, it's pretty easy to cover such a great area too. I mean, you know, like I told you before we got on, you've got a daughter in volleyball going through the program. I've got a son in seventh grade football, getting to watch him over the next 6 years grow into this program and learn life lessons from the coaches. It's grade A coverage because we've got grade A coaches, and they deserve to be recognized. You deserve to be recognized as official for up to 30 years and commissioner.
Well, I was going to say, you know, if there's no MAC state championships this year, we know who to blame.
Oh man! Don't put that on him. Don't put that juju out there.
Can't control that.
Yeah,
can't control that.
Yeah, you know, you look at it. You know, we could go on for another hour, but you look at Marion Local's streak. You know, you just look back and the run they've had. It's just been incredible. And you know, Tim Goodwin as a person and a coach. You know, you go back to John Reed, person and a coach. Yep. I mean, it's just top to bottom. We've got the best. Starts with our commissioner too, Don Kemper, back in the day. Rob last year, you taking it on this year.
Started with like a John Seidenbender, Tim Buescher for a while, Phil Schumann, you know, all good people. Geez, now that we say it like that, it's just kind of tough act to follow.
Well, don't put it that perspective.
But
keep doing a great job. It's incredible. And thank you for the kind words, but. Kyle, we're going to continue to try to grow this and broadcast what a great area this is for sports. Ben Kramer, our guest tonight, MAC commissioner, official for 29 years, approaching year 30 here soon. Ben, thank you so
something
much for
like that
on.
Around that.
We'll put it there, right? He started at 18. We know that. So thank you so much. Incredible time given to these student athletes, and it's much appreciated. Again, if you missed it, check it out. Again, WCSMradio.com. You can check it on any podcast platform that you get it on. And we'll have that up tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And we'll send it back to Lee Keiser. Tonight's coverage brought to you by Loudix Jewelry, Home Service Station, and, of course, broadcasting live at the Coldwater Eagles 3025. We'll be back again in 2 weeks working on another great guest for us. In the books. We've got some feelers out there. So again, thank you to the guests for coming on episode 3. I think we've nailed all 3 guests. It's been pretty incredible. The support and the answers that we get. So, you know, you send that text out and you're like, oh man, I get those a lot.
Please say yes.
Yes. Please say yes. And, thank you, Ben, again for coming on. And, again, we're going to wrap it up tonight. Sports Surge with Kyle Hine and Brent Sellhorse on 96.7 The Wave. Everybody have a great evening.
For sports first on air and online, we thank you for listening to this WCSM Sports presentation.